We begin the hour by welcoming into the program an investigative journalist who has been covering the pharmaceutical beat for a number of years. She's the author of Dangerous Doses, a true story of cops, counterfeiters, and the contamination of America's drug supply, and a brand new book that is incredibly powerful, Bottle of Lies, the inside story of the generic drug boom. Catherine Eban, welcome to Downtown.
Thank you for having me.
This book is it's so good in so many ways, and it really is a case study in the dangers of globalization.
That's right. The book exposes widespread fraud in the overseas manufacturing plants that are making our low-cost generic medicine.
And in some ways, as you point out in the book, I guess we can blame Gandhi for this.
The story of the Indian generic industry really began in World War II when Gandhi urged Indian drug manufacturers to step up their effort to manufacture generics for the Indian Army as a way to gain their freedom from the British, who wanted assistance with the war effort. And that led to patent changes in India and a sort of golden age of Indian pharma in which they became experts at something called reverse engineering.
What makes this book so powerful to me is that it reads in many ways like a thriller. It's incredibly suspenseful. And one of the reasons, too, is the very compelling story of, I hope I get his name pronounced correctly, Dinesh Thakur, who really comes across as a hero in this.
Yeah, he was a young scientist who worked for Bristol-Myers Squibb, and he was recruited to go work in India at the largest generic drug company there called Rambaxi. And he relocated from New Jersey to New Delhi, and his boss at Rambaxi began to get concerned about the quality of the data that Rambaxi was using to file for approvals with regulators around the world. So that's how you get your generic drugs approved, is you submit data that shows that they're bioequivalent to the brand. So his boss asked him to investigate these regulatory filings and see if the data in them was accurate or not. And Dinesh uncovered really Rambaxi's dark secret, which is that it had falsified data for 200 drug products in more than 40 countries around the world, including in the U.S. And he put this into a PowerPoint document that was shown to the board of directors. He was ultimately forced out of the company. His boss resigned, and Dinesh Thakur became a whistleblower. He went to the FDA with a host of these documents, and they began an investigation. So Bottle of Lies tells this story as well as the story of many other overseas companies that are supplying our generic drugs.
And the numbers are startling, too. Can you give us some of the percentages? Because I can't believe these numbers of all drugs that are generic and the ingredients that are used in them that are produced or come from either India or China.
Yeah, it's quite extraordinary. So 90% of the U.S. drug supply is generic. And the majority of those drugs are made overseas. 40% of our generic drugs alone come from India. 80% of the active ingredient in all our drugs, whether brand or generic, come from overseas. So we are really dependent on these low-cost drug and drug ingredients that are made in India and China. But the question for me was, what's really happening in the manufacturing plants where those drugs are made?
And it's a study of what's called multi-tiered manufacturing. Can you explain that for anybody who might not understand?
What really surprised me is that these overseas drug companies, the low-cost generic companies, actually adjust their manufacturing standards depending on the market that they're selling into. So, for example, they will make their better drugs for more regulated markets and their worse drugs for the most poorly regulated markets. And basically, as one person put it to me, to Africa, they'll send anything at all.
And that's the part that's so troubling in this. And it also seems like in many cases, the FDA is, well, if not complicit, at least looking the other way.
You know, on paper, the FDA regulates these plants exactly the same as it does plants in the U.S. They are required to meet the same standards, but first of all, the inspections are completely different. So in the U.S., the FDA investigators will show up unannounced at manufacturing plants and stay as long as needed. But overseas, because of all the complex logistics, they will announce their arrival to these plants weeks, if not months, in advance. That gives these plants the opportunity to stage the inspections. They will invent documents. They will clean up bird infestations, get rid of lizards. All sorts of things go on so that once the FDA investigators show up, the plant looks perfect, the data is fake, the drugs appear to be compliant.
And we've been told as consumers for years that generic drugs were the answer in many ways to big pharma. But they're hand in hand. They are interrelated, and the safeguards that we assume are there for any drugs that we get in America simply don't exist in a number of cases.
They really don't. You know, almost everybody assumes that the FDA is systematically testing drugs that are on our market. They're not. With the generic industry, they're really regulating on an honor system. So the companies will submit the data. The FDA will review it to make sure that the drugs appear to be bioequivalent. They'll do a pre-announced inspection at the plant, and then they approve the drugs. These drugs go on the market, and as I found out, sometimes these companies are submitting completely fabricated data to regulators. They literally don't even know how to make the drug when the drug launches onto the market. As they're selling it, they will go back into the laboratory to figure out how to do it.
And you also learned in your research, which is incredible, by the way, that the FDA will sometimes even downgrade its own findings. Why do they do that?
Yeah. So, you know, FDA investigators have gone into these plants and in many cases have been horrified by the conditions. And when they are, they will recommend something that's called official action indicated, which is basically the worst finding a plant can get. What that means is the plant has to make immediate corrections or will face even further regulatory action, like an import alert, which means they can't sell their drugs into the U.S. But at 110 plants over the course of 6 years in India, the FDA downgraded those recommended findings to a much lesser finding. Basically saying, well, they thought that the plant would fix things on their own. Now, why would they do that? I mean, one issue is we don't really have a plan B for our drug supply. We're dependent on these generic drugs. Almost none of us can afford brand name drugs. We're already suffering from drug shortages. So the FDA is basically choosing to let imperfect drugs, drugs that don't meet our standards, into the country because they know that people need them. And they're also under a lot of political pressure from Congress to make cheap, low-cost drugs available.
You've covered the industry for a long time. Were you shocked at the extent of the issues, particularly in foreign countries, everything from missing files to concealed labs to just, well, out-and-out treachery?
I was absolutely shocked by what goes on in these manufacturing plants. In some cases, these manufacturing plants want to run out the clock on these investigations, so they've given they've given the FDA investigators tainted water from taps to sicken them so that they can't inspect. They've bugged their hotel rooms. They've followed them. They've threatened them. They've operated hidden laboratories. There's just a whole host of things that really were shocking to me.
Peter Baker is a bit of a hero in this story as well. Can you talk about his role?
So So he was a young investigator who was stationed in India, where none of the other FDA investigators wanted to go. And the book actually opens with an inspection he did at a sterile manufacturing plant in Aurangabad, India. He goes in, and he sees a guy at the other end of this hallway with a clear garbage bag that had documents in it. And he directed him to stop. The man ran. He chased him, retrieved these records, which led him into this really a world of lies inside this plant. It turned out the manufacturing plant was operating a secret area with undisclosed equipment that was causing metallic contamination in injectable insulin that this plant was manufacturing. And basically, he learned how to investigate these plants, and he figured out that many of them were operating secret testing operations inside the plants, where they would not disclose the tests, but they'd pre-test the drugs to see if they passed. And if they failed, they'd figured out how to tamper with the testing so that they would make these drugs pass specifications.
So, Catherine, obviously the government, the pharmaceutical companies aren't going to do it. What can consumers do to protect themselves?
Right. So consumers, first of all, need to know who is making their drugs. And most of us don't even think about that. I'm sure a number of your listeners, they just go to the pharmacy like all of us. They'll get a prescription. They don't even know if the manufacturer has changed or not if they take a monthly drug. So the first thing I tell patients is that they should look at who is making their drugs. Then they can begin to do some research about the track record of that company and what the FDA has found inside of its plants. In fact, you can even figure out, and I have this information on my website, you can even figure out if there are different manufacturers that make the drug that you're getting. And you can request a different manufacturer at the pharmacy.
More information, you can visit Catherine's website at CatherineEban.com. It is a powerful and an important book, Bottle of Lies, the inside story of the generic drug boom. Catherine, thank you so much for the exhaustive research on this, and thank you for spending time talking with us about it today.
Thank you. What a pleasure. I appreciate it.